What's up, Upper Room Young Adults? Thanks for tuning in to the Friday night podcast. This last Friday night, we jumped into 1 Kings 19. We went to Luke 9 and Matthew 11. And we talked about taking on the yoke of Jesus. And so I just pray that as you listen to this, that you would feel his desire for you to carry his yoke with him in whatever he's called you to do, wherever he's placed you, and that you would experience a greater revelation of his leadership, of his nearness. So I pray this touches you today, wherever you are, wherever you're listening to it. Just let the Lord speak to you. We love you guys. This word that I want to share with you guys tonight, I really feel like is going to set a precedent for the year before us as a young adult community. I even believe in my heart that this word is, yes, for us as young adults here at Upper Room Dallas, but I even believe it's just for Upper Room. And I want to release it to you too, because it doesn't take a lot of time, or it doesn't take you to be a genius to realize when you walk in this room on a Sunday night or on a Sunday, man, this is like young adult hub of Christianity, of faith. And I just want to commission you guys in this too. I know this is might seem really practical, but if this is your home church, plant yourself. I just believe in this hour that there is such a temptation to give yourself to the faith, to the Lord. And this is nothing against ministries or movements that aren't a local body, but I believe that the wineskin of the last day's movement of the Holy Spirit will be his church, which it says in scripture is the fullness of his body in the earth. So if there's a time that says, I want to go to church, not just for messages and this, but I want to buy into a body. Can I tell you, this place isn't perfect, but one of the things I can attest to is this, is that it is safe. And sometimes we hide and run because it maybe doesn't hit all the check boxes. But I can tell you this, if you've encountered Jesus in this room, that is the main thing that will sustain you and keep you. But there is something tethered to biblical principle that I just believe, I just feel a buy-in afresh. Not that I'm sales pitching you and be like, hey, this is your church. I'm saying wherever the Lord leads you, wherever he leads you, plant there. Plant there. Somebody offends you, don't leave. You hear something that you might kind of doctrinally disagree with, don't leave, unless it's just blatant heresy. Trust me, you will probably know if it's blatant heresy. And if you don't, trust this, the Lord's leadership is so good, he will make it so clear to you. But I just feel like the Lord has done such a work in my life. I feel like I sit on the Gen Z, I'm on the fringe. And I just see so many things that the Lord wants to do in our generation. But it comes at a great reality of surrendering and losing yourself totally to grow into the depths and purposes that God has revealed to you about you. And tonight, again, going back to what I was sharing about this word for this year, it was actually funny. I feel like the Lord, we've been on this trajectory, Samantha and I, which this is my wife, Samantha, this over here. I love her deeply. I tell people all the time, even when I go preach places, I'm probably preaching something she's preached to me. She is a prophet of the Lord. She dreams, hears the voice of God, is stable and as chill as you could ever be. Some people look at me and be like, man, that dude's solid. She's solid. And I'm leaning on her stability a lot. But we were praying at the end of last year. Needless to say, Samantha was praying at the end of last year. And she kept hearing this word. And honestly, again, I was in one of these places where the Lord was speaking to me. But when she began to say this phrase, and you're going to hear me say it two different ways tonight, something just was like, yes, that's where I feel like you're taking us, Lord. I feel like you are bringing us into a fresh reality of this language for where I feel like the Lord is wanting to lead us step by step into a lot of things that we're praying for. And she began to share, as we were just sitting there in our living room, she began to share about how the Lord had been speaking to her and revealing to her and hearing this phrase in her spirit really loudly, "I'm looking for bond servants." And better yet, she had drew a picture the Lord gave her, because that's often how the Lord speaks to her, just through art, through creativity. And it was this picture of, that looked very similar to me when I saw it, as that of a yoke. When I mean yoke, I'm not talking about getting yoked. You know what I mean? Like the, all our gym, real fitness crazes, you know, like, I'm gonna get jacked. If that's your goal for this year, I'll keep you accountable. Come to me in June. I'm just messing with you guys. If you're like me, I'm like, yeah, this is the year. And I'll be 35 one day and I'll be like, man, I should have done that. But anyways, here we are. But we were talking about and praying about the yoke of Jesus. And I know tonight I'm not going to be long. I feel like I have a real simple proposition for you. And I feel like even by like revelation that's already here in this room, the Lord might actually even has already revealed to you maybe this truth, and that's this. Maybe you're carrying a yoke that has a form of godliness, yet your soul proves a truth otherwise of what you're carrying. And we're going to jump into scripture and read this. There's some different passages and things that the Lord has showed, but I want to highlight this. I want to set you up for what we're going to go through in scripture tonight. And then again, I feel like the Lord is going to come in so tenderly with his love and invite us into what I believe is a word for this year, because this is what I've sensed about 2024. We've had enough dreams, had enough words. Like, I think we could hear the voice of the Lord through so many people, but I believe that this year is a Psalms 24 year. I know we were like, oh, 2024, is he a numbers guy? Is he about to give an offering? Where is he going? You know what I mean? But I believe that this is a year where we are going to go up the mountain of the Lord. But so many people don't realize that you cannot get to that mountain, which is God himself, without God taking you by the hand and leading you into the very things that he's revealed in your own heart. Sometimes we kind of view Jesus like an offensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys, right? God bless the Cowboys. Lord, they're still your boys. There's still time left in the earth. Lord, we thank you. I told somebody the other day when we were in the prayer session, I said, you know, we're going to win the Super Bowl when the Lord hits me with a spirit of prophecy and I go up in a 12-2 prayer set and I say, when the Cowboys win the Super Bowl. Revival. And I'm joking. But oftentimes we have this picture of Jesus, right? He's in heaven. He's leaning over and he's calling the shots and the audibles and all this different things. And we just think that he's up there, though he is. But the truth is, he's given us a helper, which is his spirit in the earth, leading us into all the things that he's speaking to us as his church. Yet there's still such a real chasm in a lot of believers' lives. Could we be honest? God, where are you? Right? I'm not talking about like we will never not go through a dark night of the soul. I'm talking about more of a threshold where so many people have an idea of God, right? He's up there, he's speaking, he's doing his thing, and I'm just gonna serve him faithfully here on the earth, and I receive salvation, but you never go after the riches and glory that is in Christ Jesus on this side of eternity. And a lot of us are just, I think this is what the Lord's doing in the church. I think he's kind of shaking us out of our coziness, where maybe like 40 years ago, you could have done that and served the Lord faithfully and stepped into eternity and great. But we're living in a day and in a culture where we are seeing this confrontation that shallow, distant faith from the Father and walking with him is not getting our generation anywhere. If you were here last year, I preached a message called Dove Company, and I believe there's a similar call in this even for another phase, another chapter, and that's this. Like, I don't think the enemy is scared at how good we come to church. I don't think he's scared of our YouTube playlist views. I don't think he's scared of how much we listen to worship on the daily. He's not scared of those things. He's scared of this reality that Christ Jesus, the hope of glory, lives in you to such a degree when that revelation is awakened, you can go to SMU, you can go to the 7-Eleven. You don't even necessarily have to come to church to get filled up. Why? Because you are the temple of God, the church yourself, and the Lord is filling you up and speaking you to you daily. And you're walking with him daily, denying yourself daily. And I think here is a rubber meeting the road type of place that we're in as a community, as young adults, as Upper Room, where we are being confronted with the things we sing, the things we preach. It's even what Larissa shared a few weeks ago. I feel like even her message about the glorious riches inheritance in the saints has been something that's been burning in my spirit to say, I believe that is for us, guys. Or are we just gonna sit here and be like, oh, I think I'm gonna just, like when you have kids, it does something in you. Can I just say that? And maybe you're like, I'm 22, not married. But if this faith is real to you, and whenever generations come through you, I get why the Bible, why there's such an intensity around generations. Because I just believe that there's something that God wants to do in us that's not even necessarily about you right now. Some of you are sitting in this room and you're thinking you're here for you, and you're actually here for your kid that you haven't even met yet. That's how big God is. That's how big Christianity is. You can try to deconstruct it, but I promise you, you'll probably still be here another 1,000 years or until the Lord comes. So you can pick it apart, make it your own way, your own model, but there is a path, a way, the truth, and the life, and his name is Jesus. And when it consumes you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, I'm talking about daily Christianity. I'm not talking about the event-based thing that we come and we encounter, we do end of year, and then 10 years from now, you look on Facebook and your life is completely derailed. I feel like there's something the Lord is setting before us, and it is the truth of the gospel. It will never get old. That's why I love Peter Lewis. He preaches it so much till it offends you because you think you get it, and the moment you think you get it, you realize you don't. Let's read this. Let's go to 1 Kings 19. We're going to read 1 Kings 19. Then we're going to go to Matthew 11. I think we're going to go to John, but I want to read this. And again, has anybody ever pictured a yoke? I should have pulled up a picture. We'll talk about that. If you know what a yoke is, keep it in mind. If not, I'm coming for you. It says this, so Elijah went from there and found Elijah, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him, threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied, for what have I done to you? Let's go to the next verse. Sorry about that, whoa. So Elijah left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. Whoa. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. Say servant. Now let's go to Matthew Actually, we'll go to Matthew 11 in a second. Let's go to Luke 9. Luke 9, verses 57 through 62. It says this. It says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Now let's go to Matthew 11, and we're going to read verses 25 through 30. It says, at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and you've revealed them to who? Little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So verse 28. So the Lord says, even tonight, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Verse 29. So now take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Verse 30. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. As I was reading this in 1 Kings 19, and the Lord took me to Luke 9 and Matthew 11, I feel like the Lord made it very clear. And that's this, that a lot of us need to burn some yokes in this room so that we can receive the yoke that Jesus has for us. But I want to break this down, because the yoke, oftentimes, I'll say this, is that, yes, there's a such thing as being unequally yoked, right? I think if we could view with the eyes of the Spirit, I think there are yokes being presented to us probably a lot more than what we realize. And I think it's very easy to even say, I feel like the Lord's going to do like some spiritual, like putting things together in the comparison of his yoke versus the comparison of a lot of yokes that we're carrying. But I want to say this, going back to 1 Kings 19, I thought this was beautiful, because I think even too, here's something I always love saying, read the Old Testament and always read it on the edge of your seat saying, Jesus, where were you revealing yourself? I said this the other day in Bible study, I think a lot of us young Gen Zers, we don't understand that this thing right here is in perfect harmony. If you listen to the pages, the New Testament is not sitting over the pages saying, look at how bad it is. Look at how bad it was. Don't read it. I think we have to see that there's nothing in this that contradicts itself. Can I tell you, the gospel is not Matthew through Revelation, it's this whole thing. The gospel is this, is that the Lord would be willing and merciful and kind to endure with humanity despite our own stupidity over and over and over again. That he pressed the reset button, he said, you know what, that wasn't right, I'm not gonna do that again. That's mercy. We look at judgments in the Old Testament, we're like, who is, there's mercy that he'd be willing to walk with us and reveal himself. And I believe in 1 Kings 19, that's what he's doing. He's revealing himself right here through the story of Elijah and Elisha. And we hear this, how Elisha was taking care of oxen, right? Which oxen, even biblically, is where we usually get this terminology of a yoke. A yoke is something that was be put on oxen for them to equally plow ground together. Because here's the truth, trying to plow on your own is hard. So a lot of farmers, when they realize, how about let's do this? Let's put two together, double the power, and see what comes out of it. And what didn't take long for a lot of farmers to realize, oh wow, the more weight that is pulling this plow together does a lot more than one ox trying to do it on its own. But the thing here that I love with this story specifically, that kind of gives you the definition of a yoke. But the thing I love about the story of Elijah and Elisha is actually when you read the New Testament that Jesus, one of the very Bible characters that he was mistaken for a lot, him and John the Baptist the most, was who? Elijah. But I think there's a foreshadowing here because there's even a question that I want to read out of 1 Kings 19. And it's this, it's where Elisha looks at Elijah and says, I'm going to come and follow you. And then Elijah turns and says, what have I done to you? And I think there's a mirror, there's a thing here to like maybe catch your attention, meaning this, you will never turn back and burn the things until you first have a resolve of what has touched you. Not better yet, what has touched you? Who has touched you? And a lot of our generation, if we could put ourselves in Elisha's shoes and make Elisha Jesus, is this, is that we kind of make Jesus like the side gig. We go back to the plow on this day because it's most comfortable, right? And we do our yoke and we do our thing and then we come running back to Jesus and then we try to take his yoke and we don't realize is that we feel pulled apart in our soul. Why? Because we still haven't turned back to the yokes, to the things, to what we used to know and actually do what the gospel says to do. Surrender. Die to yourself. And this is what's actually tempting about the faith. I think that some people are like, oh, that's obvious, right? I'm not in sin anymore. But I actually believe there are yokes that a lot of believers carry that have a form of godliness. It looks powerful, right? Well, they're doing this and there's influential. There's influence. They're influential. They got this. They're doing this for the kingdom of God. Yes, 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 yes. But what is the fruit of their soul? Have you ever met a lot of people that can preach a message but can't have a conversation with you? And I'm not trying to knock people that have spiritual or that have social quirks and cues. I'm talking about Jesus didn't die just to make us powerful. He died to make us whole. He didn't die just for you to burn your thing and then go pick up another yoke and be very fruitful in ministry. And then 10 years down the road, you're burnt out because you are more focused on getting rid of stuff to do something else rather than realizing who touched you. I'm not talking about picking up another yoke to busy yourself again, to do something for God, to make up for what looks like what you used to do, but now it's just in the form of religion. Now it's just in the layers of Christianity. Now it gets you the same influence, the same notoriety, the same thing that the world did, but you don't even know who you're doing it for or why you're even doing it at all. I'm preaching to myself. Because it's very easy, it's very tempting to come to places like this tonight and not even know why you got in the car to drive here. It's very easy in our day and age, but God is wanting to take our generation deeper. and say, I burned the stuff. I dealt with the sin. I got rid of the religiosity because I saw the one who touched me. And I'm not talking about a cloak from a prophet. I'm talking about the train of his robe that filled the temple. I'm talking about a vesture dipped in blood that dealt with every single one of my enemies. It drowned pornography. It drowned lust. It drowned suicide. I'm talking about that is the one that touched me, that said, I'm gonna burn everything and follow this man. But a lot of us are burning things and we're seeing the Lord right here and he's standing with open arms and we're running right past him just to pick up another religious yoke that in 6 years you get burnt out because that person didn't recognize you. You don't have that position at a church and this, this, and this. But can I tell you, I've been in it for a decade and none of that stuff scratches the itch. I don't care how many people know your name. I'm not sitting here trying to bash this, this, and this, but I'm saying there is someone that is real and his name is Jesus. And if he's not enough now, he won't be a decade from now when you got everything and him. Because there will come a day where that thing, where that yoke produces fruitfulness and it will give you this thing called a crown and you will sit there saying, am I gonna hold on to this or why did I do it in the first place? Why am I in this thing called Christianity? I actually wanna wrestle that thought with you tonight because I believe in an honest wrestle, real fruit will be produced in you. It will deal with all the things in your soul of why you're confused, of why you think and you've made access to anxiety and all these things. God doesn't want you to walk around with this heavy, burdensome yoke called Christianity. It says his yoke is what? Easy, and his burden is light. Jesus himself in the power of the Holy Spirit is waging war on false man-made gospels. Because I promise you, in the day of trouble, there's only one yoke that will sustain you. And it will be the one with Jesus himself. The Lord gave me this vision a few years ago. I was burnt out. I was tired. I was thinking I was doing everything that I could do in my own strength, right? I was praying this much a day. I was doing this, 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 and this, but felt like, God, where are you? And I was confronted with the fact that I was carrying a yoke that looked like God. It looked powerful, but here's a very scary thing. You can look powerful and never taste proximity. And a lot of us don't even realize this, that sometimes the anointing on a person's life is God's mercy to them. That sometimes the only place that they experience his nearness is when they're being used by him. And it's God's mercy saying, I'm still wanting to meet you more than whenever you're being used by my spirit. Can I just say this tonight? I feel an unction in my spirit. God does not want you to go home and not have an assurance of where he is in your own bedroom, that we always have to keep coming in and coming in and coming in. When he's saying, I put my spirit in you, not around you. Not like you got to come in and buy it and petition it. Like it's in you. If you believe tonight, God resides in you. And whenever that bomb goes off, it's like every thought, every wayward thing, everything of your soul just begins to, you hear it like shriek and scream. But there's a better yoke. And I realized several years ago, whenever I was going through the season that I was in, I had a yoke around my neck, and I remember in prayer one day, it was simple. The Lord said, look beside you. And I remember in this vision, I had a yoke around my neck, and there was an empty spot in that yoke beside me. And what I didn't realize was this, and the Lord was so kind to tell me, he's saying, Chase, you're wanting to convince me that you're worthy enough for me to come and put my head in your yoke with you. Like you're trying to do this thing backwards by all your religious exploits, all the things you're doing for me that I've told you to do. But the Lord is saying this, I didn't ask you to do them apart from me. I asked you to do them with me. And it's so scary, the deceiving hour of the age, that you can do things that look godly but are absent of God himself. And again, God's zeal and desire is this, that you would not feel chasms more than you feel the nearness of his love. I want to read this on the passage of the yoke. So let's just go there to Matthew 11 again. And I even love this in 1 Kings 19. Oh, it was so good when I read it. It's literally the same verbiage that you read in Luke 9. And then you actually hear the words in the language of Jesus back to the ones. And that's like a Jesus that we wrestle with, right? Let the dead bury the dead. And we're like, ooh, that's harsh. Ouch. But Jesus is actually not saying that he wants us to be so blatantly mean in our response toward him, right? Or toward Jesus, right? Like, you got to be blatantly mean so you can say yes to Jesus. He's better yet saying this, your love in response to me should just look like a deliberate hate toward the world, and you're not trying to hate it. You just love Jesus so much that the world throws that narrative that you hate it on you. But so many of us in our faith, we try to hate the world, hate the world, hate the world so we can respond to Jesus. And the truth is, love Jesus and run and respond to him, and then let the world tell you how much that they feel that they're hated by you. And can I say that? If the world cannot recognize that about you, there's a fruit test there of, are you really following him? Because your Christianity isn't called to make culture comfortable. And I'm not talking about a warrior complex either. I'm talking about you are so bold and astute in your faith that you look like the very one that died for you, buried for you, resurrected for you, that when you walk into the presence of darkness, light invades it. But there's something here where I feel like, again, I hear the petition of the Lord's voice even right here in this moment saying, I'm better. I'm better than all the yokes that leave you empty. I'm better than all the striving that has gotten you nowhere. And I see this. There's some individuals in here, you have contemplated where your faith is sitting. Like, you've given yourself a litmus test that you're saying, if this doesn't change by this, I think I'm done with this thing. And the Lord's saying, you came to the right place on the right night, because I'm going to deliver you from you. I'm going to deliver you from your good Christian self. I'm going to deliver you from all the things you thought you knew how to do. I'm going to deliver you from all your pride and all this and all the things you think. Because he actually wants people that love him and need him. That's why I think in the day of trouble, people will fall away, because they're going to be confronted. Oh, wow, this sounded really good when I thought it would get me this, this, and this. And then your reward is revealed. But you will never taste reward until you bear his yoke with him now. Because you cannot make it to where we're wanting to go, up the mountain, until we actually yield ourselves to the leadership of Jesus that is humble and lowly and says, God, I'm going to quit fighting you. I'm going to quit fighting you. I know we've built something here, and the Lord, you rest here, but I just feel like there's something more, and I'm going to quit fighting of trying to calculate it, make it happen, put it in my bubble, put it in my box, put it in my timeline, put it in this. And the Lord's saying, I'm bigger, I'm better. And if you actually would see that I've touched you, you would actually surrender to the yoke that he has for you. Matthew 11 says this, at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, the Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from who? The wise and the learned. That definition of wise can also be interpreted as from the prideful. You ever get upset with people that you know need help, but they act like they don't need help? That was my grandpa. You couldn't tell him anything. It's what we call in Arkansas and Alabama, hard-headed. No, I'm good. But they're like falling over. They can't even walk straight. I got this. I know what I need to do. Wise, learned, can't tell them anything. I got this. I've been serving Jesus since you were a child. I know what to do. The Lord says, I've hidden these things from those type of people. And I've revealed them to little children. Little children are needy. If I brought my 4-year-old in this room, you would be confronted with the definition of a little child. They're gonna run all over you, do whatever they wanna do, but they're eager, they're excited. And here's the common denominator. They need us. They need who? Their parents. They need their father. That is who the kingdom, that is who Jesus has chosen to reveal himself to, little children. And this is what I believe even to tonight with the yoke. Some of you have tasted a yoke trying to obtain adoption, where the Lord actually wants to offer you adoption and then bear his yoke. And going back to the vision that I had was this, is that I always knew figuratively and I knew in theory that I was a son. But I believed that I had to prove my sonship in order for God then to enter into all the works that I've done for him. When the truth was this, that's why my soul was fractured. That's why I wasn't seeing fruit. And the Lord had mercy, but his mercy also met me. And that was this, Chase, I don't desire you to so do things for me that you don't even know who you already are to me. A child, a son, a daughter, bought before I could ever convince him of any mighty exploit that I would want to do with him or for him. He chose me as his little child. He says this, yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. Then he says this, that all things have been committed to me by the Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. This is what I want to really invite all of our hearts into. It's this, the Lord saying, come to me. Those three words right there, we actually also find them cross-referenced to Isaiah 55. In Isaiah 55 is this, come to me all who are thirsty and I will give you something to drink. Come to me all who are hungry and I will feed you. Come, even if you have no money, buy and drink. And I think there's another message here. This is something that you cannot buy yourself. It's something that you have to surrender yourself to. Even in the awkward tension of, am I worthy? Have I done enough? And the Lord's saying, stop it. Just come to me. Cut out all the religious mumbo jumbo. Come to me. The way that you did when I first revealed myself to you. That's the way that I want you to come to me. And this is the thing, guys. This is the truth. He never wants you to grow apart from that. That's why David prays that prayer, Lord, restore to me to what? The joy of my salvation. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. And I think God's so kind because he's just so straight to the point. Can I tell you, this doesn't mean you'll never not experience a hard season, even in bearing the yoke with Jesus. But can I tell you, if you are experiencing just constant weariness, constant heaviness, wake up heavy, go to bed heavy, wake up heavy, go to bed heavy, there is a yoke that you need the Lord's help to surrender off of yourself and to come under his yoke for you. And this is the thing I want to read to. His last verses. He's saying, come, right? But verse 29 says this. It says, so take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find what? Rest for your souls. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And if any three of those areas are not at rest, maybe you're bearing a bad yoke. Can I tell you, Jesus didn't die just for your spirit to be on fire. He died for you to have his mind. He died for you to have his will. He died for you to have his emotions. And then he says this, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And this is the thing I love about the burdens that the Lord has given me and he's re-revealed to me. They might be intense. They might feel, quote unquote, in language heavy, but they're light because I've gone from bearing the yoke by myself to bearing it with the one who gave me the burden in the first place. I love that passage of scripture. It says one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000, right? And a lot of us are serving Jesus absent of even walking with him. And I love the progression that we see with the disciples, right? He calls them servants. And then there's a point in John where they grow from servanthood to friendship. And I feel like this is the invitation that the Lord is saying tonight. This yoke is nothing else than just putting your head in a place where you have proximity to his heart and to his voice. Like, I want the Lord tonight, when I talk about this, this isn't just I'm talking about when you wake up daily. I've had this in this journey since I've heard this word of, Lord, I want to feel it. And this is the thing about being yoked to Jesus. Sometimes you wake up out of bed and you're like stumbling and he's just. But this is also the thing too. He's kind enough to be like, all right, I'm with you. And this is the thing I love about, if you study this enough, there's so many pictures out there too. It's just this reality that so many of us don't slow down to even. That we serve a Father that stepped out of heaven, made himself available to us. He died on the cross. He sent his Holy Spirit back to us, ascended at the right hand of the Father. And he's coming again. But I know this is simple, but let it, like, even if you have to close your eyes to see it, Like, I've been overwhelmed with how many believers, again, just see Jesus up in heaven, like the offensive coordinator, calling the shots, and he's just got his finger crossed saying, God, let them figure it out. Please have mercy, Jesus, let them figure it. You know what I mean? Like, but his spirit is in the earth, guys. And he's wanting to take sons and daughters hand by hand daily, saying, I'm walking with you. I'm walking with you. I'm walking with you. I'm walking with you to make it until the very end. And I feel like there's something that the Lord wants to put his finger on tonight. If you are a Christian, you cannot believe the lie that you've been left alone. Again, I felt this. The thing that the Lord's told me tonight, even too, is coming in here. I feel like the Lord, for where he's wanting to take us, he's wanting to take us to places in glory, in faith. And can I tell you, this is not for the elect few. This is for all of us. These aren't for the guys that just preached the messages and got the, like, this is for all of us. Like, gone are the days where we're like living in a modern day Old Testament. Francis Chan says this, where we come to church and it's like Moses, like the preacher's Moses that went up the mountain, come down and tell us what God said. When we are living in a free, accessible path up the mountain, and the only way up is not listening to me even preach to you tonight. The way up is meek and lowly, saying, God, I want to go up, but first I have to come close. A lot of us are trying to go up a mountain and we've never tasted nearness. A lot of us want to be powerful, but we don't know the safety of proximity. That even when the power comes on you, the only thing that your heart beats for is, I want to be near. I want to be close. But I just feel that tonight, because there's going to be glories that are going to be released over all. That the last thing when the glory walks in the room is you entertaining the lie. Do I have access to this or not? Have I done this or not? The Lord's saying, you're a son, you're a daughter. And if you are yoked to me, everything that I'm leading you into has been already made available for you. But we can't keep wandering around anymore in our systems, in our methods, and even all the things. Like this, even how we've been praying this year, like, Lord, we don't want to build anything that you cannot fill. We don't want to even do Bible studies if you can't show up at 6:30 in the morning and invade with your voice and with your presence, because I can't go back to the yoke. I can't look back at the things that I've burned. I can't even look back. I'm not talking about sin anymore. I'm talking about my own striving, that it looked good. It looked appealing, but I was empty. I was broken. I was depressed and suicidal, and I held a ministry position. We don't talk about that though. But let's play face and act like we're doing something for God, but we're bearing lonely yokes. And our souls and our minds are weary and wandering. But I can say that without shame, because I have tasted a yoke that is burden free. And it is light and it is joy filled, that I can wake up and say, Lord, I've blown it more than I can even fathom. But he hasn't left me. A lot of us think that he's given up the yoke and said, I'm done with this. Bro, you're struggling. He will sit there like you're the ox that's given up, right? I had a picture hit my mind the other day when I was in middle school. I played up with the varsity basketball team. Man. And I was a short, pudgy kid, man. God help me, but I could shoot three-pointers. Yeah, y'all don't know about that. It got me later, though, because I blew out my ACL 2 years ago. Pray for me. But my middle school year, this is the thing, this is the picture that came to mind of bearing a yoke, because the Lord's with us, right? He'll never leave us back. I didn't have a physical yoke at this basketball practice. But we were running suicides, right? We were running the sprints. Have y'all ever done that where you run and you just keep running? Well, again, I was slow, I was awkward, and I was out of shape. And I had a coach that was running us like crazy this day. And I remember at one point, again, I got so awkwardly overwhelmed, I was crying. And I'm practicing with all these high schoolers, right? That's like the number one thing you don't do. If you're in seventh grade, don't cry in front of a junior. You'll never live it down. I remember I'm running and I just start crying. And I'm telling myself, like, I'm gonna die. I can't make it. I'm gonna die. I can't make it, right? And all these other guys are just blazing by, like, you know, like 6'5", like just running as fast as they can. And I remember I stop and I'm like paralyzed with fear. I remember I'm sitting there crying. And I remember, like, again, I was just gonna walk off the floor. I was just gonna quit. And I remember there was a junior, his name was Adam. And I remember I sat there and I kind of like hit my knees and I see like these shoes walk up to me. And Adam had stopped because he heard me crying under my breath. And he said, "Don't worry about running fast. Just finish and I'll finish with you." And I remember getting up and it was like, I remember getting up, and the only way I could describe it to you was like wind had hit my sails. Because the reason I was paralyzed was not because of anything else, but I had begun to believe that I was alone and I wasn't strong. And I was weak, and ultimately that led me to want to quit and want to die, right? But someone came beside me. And finished the race with me. And that's what a lot of people in our faith in Christianity today, we have not tasted that yet. And sometimes knowing who's running with you comes at the cost of you breaking down and realizing, I can't do it on my own anymore. Meek and lowly. You know what's so lowly about God? He would come to the earth and choose to do, he could have done it by himself, but he surrounded himself. And this is where we learn the reality, no servant is greater than his master. And I want to just pray right here. Because I feel this tonight. I feel it so strongly. That there's a petition to burn some yokes. Because there's one in the room that wants to touch you and then look at you and say, what have I done to you that makes you want to do this? What are you doing? And I'll be honest with you, I think this is something that we are called to do and very cautiously pay attention to, not just once a year, not just for an oil change. This isn't just something to get us riled up and going for the year, because like I'm talking about, this is a message that God's heart for us is to live by daily. That you would remember that he is with you. He is beside you. In the things that you desire, that this is the thing. He didn't give you those promises and then just hightail it out and say, go figure it out on your own. He said, look at what I have for you and look at what we're going to go after together. Wow. I just feel that. Some of you have not tasted nearness in a long time. And the Lord saying, I am here. And I want to place my yoke upon you. Will you take it? Will you take it? Will you surrender? Just every head bowed. I just feel this real assessment taking place in our hearts. I'm just saying, Lord, I want to surrender. God has not designed you. You're not just some cheap animal to fill a religious yoke, be productive, be fruitful, and die. You are a son and a daughter that has a father in heaven that says, I have a burden for you. I have a path for you. It's not just you trying to figure out your Christianity on your own. But the one that has now revealed himself to you is going to walk with you and reveal himself even more to you who he is. And I love this truth of being near to him because it's enough. It's enough that his nearness will sustain you through seasons where you don't even want to pull the yoke anymore. It'll sustain you in seasons where you don't see fruitfulness and the ground still feels hard and you feel like, man, I've been doing all this and I have been doing it with the Lord. But then you'll start turning your head a little bit and you'll look and you'll see the one that's beside you. You'll see his eyes. You'll hear his voice. And immediately, like me running those sprints that day, you'll realize, man, woo, I'm not in this alone. If you felt weary, the Lord's here for you tonight. If you feel like you've been weighing your options, man, I don't know what this faith thing has done for me, and I've done so much. I've been faithful this amount of years. The Lord's saying, I want to make you like a child again. Where I feel like even the way we receive his yoke is not just this burden to do something for God. The yoke is this, I just want to be with God. I want him. And if wanting him is partaking in this yoke that is easy, it's light, it's burden free, Lord, then I will want it if it means I just get nearness with you. That's my desire, even too, just letting you in on my personal, my desire this year is this, nothing else but nearness. Nothing else but proximity. God's inviting us into a John 15 reality. You cannot be fruitful apart from me, says the Lord. But here's the word of the Lord, remain, remain, remain in me. If you feel like this word is for you, I just want us just to stand all across the room. And I'm standing with you too, because here's the thing. It's like I said tonight, when you become wise and learned and you think you've obtained it, I've learned you lose it in the same breath. And I just want you to hold your hands out. And I'm going to read Matthew 11 again. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And this is the thing. I saw this picture, and this is just where we're gonna end tonight. But I love that the Lord gives us rest before he even puts the yoke upon us. And what I kept seeing was this picture of the Lord just touching hearts, touching minds. And you're gonna feel, I see this even now, the same way the Lord did it to me. It was like this wave of warmth, this wave of love, a first love, the same love that awakened me to salvation, the same love that set me free from my sin. It was also the same love that set me free from my striving in my good works. And it brought me back to the truth. It brought me back to the only way. But I just feel that tonight. Lord, give us rest this year. Just hold your hands out and receive, even all across the room, even if you're not standing. Because this is the thing. How we go up the mountain is more important than how fast we get there. I'd rather be yoked to the Lord and it take a long time than make it halfway up the mountain without him till I realize I have to come back down the mountain again. I feel like the Lord too, he's petitioning, saying, I'm looking for a generation that wants to be yoked for the long haul. Lord, I'm not in this just for momentary fruitfulness. And that's what I hear a lot of your prayers is like, Lord, I don't want to be in this just for momentary fruitfulness. I want to be in this to the reward that is the very end. That even through seasons that it's hard and it's painful. And I do feel weary. There's no shame if you felt weary. I just hear the Lord saying, there's no shame. He wants to meet you right there again. The same way he met me. In all my defensiveness, in all my bitterness, in all my anger that I thought I was more faithful than God was, but I was uneasy. I was empty. The Lord says he doesn't want you to be empty this year. Some of your greatest encounters with the Lord this year, I just hear him saying this, are going to be moments where no one else is around. It's just going to be you and him in the car crying out. And then you'll come to places like this and prayer sets and services, and it'll just be the overflow and abundance of what you've already tasted in nearness. So Lord, we just say, give us your yoke tonight. We want you to touch us in such a way that we would hear the delight in your heart say, what would make you want to do this for me? And we just look at you, Jesus, and we just say, everything. Everything would make us want to do this for you. So Lord, tonight we just say we love you. We love you. We love you. I just want to open up this place, this altar for prayer. We have a ministry team. But I just feel this. If you feel to make, I know we asked you to stand, but I feel like if you just want to come and just set yourself before the Lord, lowly, in humility, we just want to pray with people all across the room tonight. I just even feel this. If you came and this is your first time, I'd love for you to come also. We'd love to just pray over anybody that's visiting, but the band's just going to begin to sing and we'll just receive for the next few moments and let the Lord minister to us. Amen.